Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Pat Prescott. This lady loves sports, and so does this other lady. She's an investment counselor and an avid tennis fan. Meet Audrey Schmaedes.
Let's go!
Welcome to This Lady Loves Sports Podcast with Pat Prescott. Sports. She knows it all and is here to talk about it. So get ready to hear sports talk in a way that you've never heard before. It's This Lady Loves Sports Podcast. And here's your host, Pat Prescott.
This is Pat Prescott welcoming into the studio a dear friend. She is Audrey Schmaedes. And Audrey and I have, we'll tell you the story of our friendship as we tell you the story of our love affair with sports, which we share so dramatically. And you know what, Audrey, this is one of the things I really like about sports, the fact that it is something you can share with people, you know, looking for bragging rights and, you know, talking about the athletes we love, the athletes we hate, and, you know, and all of that. And it's so cool to have a girlfriend I can talk about that with.
Yep. And equally, it's also cool that you can do it on your own.
Exactly.
Because I spent many a day cuddled up inside of my den watching tennis all day.
No question. We are going to focus on tennis, but Audrey and I actually, the first sport we bonded over was football. But let me go back a little bit further than that. I just want to talk a little bit about how we met. Because I do believe that, like, God makes people show up in your life, and if you're lucky, he'll give you the gift of recognizing them when they show up. And Audrey and I have, just like in a girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, or a partnership relationship, we both have different stories about how we met. Because let me tell my story.
Are you really going to tell this?
See, Audrey was on a date with this dude, okay, who was a mutual friend of ours. And we were in some club in Hollywood.
I think it was a key club.
It was a key club, right. Because it was real dark down there in the basement.
Yeah.
But we just became instant friends. I mean, there's no real explanation for it. Yeah. We exchanged numbers, and we've just been best buds ever since then. But Audrey does say that it wasn't a date.
It wasn't a date.
He thought it was a date.
All right, well, we'll have to talk to him about that.
But anyway, that's all.
And then I'll apologize for saying that on air, then, if that's the case.
One of the things that we found out right away, though, was that we both love sports.
Yeah.
And just like Anthony McKenzie, who started out the whole podcast with me, Audrey and I have been in the same football pool for quite a while. Yeah. Shout out to Julie and Brett Martsky, who held this thing. How many years have we done this football pool?
It's about 7 or 8. And I don't know if I was on there the first year. But the dedication it's taken for her to do that every year. I mean, she did it for nothing. And that's like herding cats trying to get us all to get our payments in and get our picks in on time. She's really diligent. Appreciate her.
It's been cool. Is that legal? Is it illegal to do? What? Is that like sports betting?
Well, no.
Well,
because
sports
betting
is legal now.
Right. And they have this whole tool that we're using now, the online tool, which is really simplified things.
Yeah,
quite a
but
bit.
They don't say anything about money on there.
Oh, it doesn't, does it?
No, okay, it doesn't.
Don't tell anybody.
So don't tell anybody. If we actually, you know, it only costs us 5 footballs apiece every week to participate.
Yeah,
in our pool.
Yeah, $5. It's not
5
much.
Footballs.
Okay. Not much at all.
Not much at all. But at any rate, so one of the things I like about being in a pool is it just gives you a whole different thing to look for, you know, when you're watching the game.
It gives you a reason to watch it other than just your entertainment. You kind of have a little skin in the game. People always ask me when I tell them I'm in a pool, oh, you know, who's your team? And I'm like, I'm in a pool. I can't have a team because that makes me partial when I
your
do my
team
picks.
Is whatever team you pick.
Which so I got to stay objective.
It can create some really weird Sundays for you where you're like cheering against your favorite team because you didn't pick them in this game.
So that's why I try to stay a little bit neutral on the favorite team business. But, you know, I do love the pool, and that, like I said, it gives me that reason for watching the games other than just watching it. Because literally growing up, the NFL on Sundays from September to January were the soundtrack of our Sundays in our home.
So when did you actually start to embrace sports yourself, and how did that whole thing happen?
I'm not sure if it was quite out of the womb, but it was pretty close after that, because I grew up the youngest of four kids and the only girl. So basically, being one of four, you know, you need two for a team. So they always needed my body, if nothing else. And literally, my mom used to throw us out in the yard. We lived in Long Island some of my growing up years. And she used to throw us out in the yard just like, y'all can do anything you want to, but you're not coming inside this house. So, you know, we'd play football, and they knocked the wind out of me. I don't care how small I was. They give me the ball. And then, you know, whenever they'd hurt me really bad, they say, oh, please don't tell. They'd kiss all on me, please don't tell. And then the very next play, they would all dive to the side, let me get past. So try to make up for it. But having brothers kind of was a big part of that.
Yeah, that helps toughen you up a little bit, too. Plus, you knew as hard as they would knock you down, they would knock somebody else down if they even thought about doing anything to you.
Yeah, we don't even want to talk about growing up with four fathers. That was my life.
So who was your team back then? I mean, who were the teams that you liked when you were growing up?
We were in New York, so you know the New York teams were going to be a big part of our life. But we actually lived before that in Kansas City, and to this day, my oldest brother is a KC Chiefs fan. He is dyed in the wool, like. You go into his office, there's all the paraphernalia and everything. So, you know, I think the Chiefs are still a part of our lives, all of us. But New York teams, you know, growing up there. But now that I've been in California longer than anywhere else, I think I'm an L.A. girl.
Yeah, you start really adopting the L.A. teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's hard not to for some of them, especially the ones that win all the time.
I know. And there's just so much hype and drama around them, and storylines and entertainment value that they present is just like you cannot not get on board at some point.
Yeah.
Unless you're just going to hate. And that's part of the draw, too.
Well, it was later on that we both found out how much we love tennis. And for myself, as somebody who has never played anything, at least never played anything well, I was terrible. Are you kidding? Nobody ever wanted me.
Are you kidding?
When we played baseball, I was always the last person to get picked. Well, I couldn't catch and I couldn't hit, so that's problematic.
You know what? As long as I've known you, I did not know that. I played everything growing up. And in school, I was always the captain. No, but let me tell you my dad's favorite story. Rest in peace, Dad. He loved that he came to a parent-teacher's conference, and my PE teacher told him that she just absolutely loved having me in the class and having me as captain, because I always made sure everyone played. And the way and we always won too, because all I needed to do was pick my best friend Valerie, because between she and I, as long as we were on the court or field, we were going to win. And then we just get, and then I would purposely pick the people pick last for my third, fourth, and fifth pick, and just to, because they need that, you know. And my dad, that's his proudest moment about me. and I love that. But I played everything, soccer, softball, volleyball, basketball. You know, all of that.
Yeah. Well, you talk about, you know, giving everybody a chance to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the kind of things that I think sports also can teach you, you know, learning how to function in a group, in a team, how to be supportive of each other. You know, we see that dynamic in all the great teams that really win anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at an individual sport like tennis, which was, when we both discovered how much we love tennis, we've been maniacs ever since then. I mean, just to have somebody to watch with. And watching in this day and age is so radically different from what it was like when we were growing up watching Arthur Ashe.
Yeah.
First of all, it would be whenever they might televise it, because tennis wasn't televised back then.
Not
the way it is now. Nowhere. Well, actually, no sports really were. But today, it's a whole new, brave new world. And we practice what we like to call DVR etiquette.
Yeah, there you go. We're really good at that, you and I.
We're very good at it.
Yeah. But my mom is not. Bless her heart. And she doesn't even understand that I can pick up on anything she's saying, even when she's said nothing, because of the tone of her voice. She'll say, did you see the match? And that means that the person that I wanted to win won. Sometimes she'll say, oh, did you watch it? I'm like, Mom, why'd you even say anything? I didn't say anything. thing. I'm like, I heard everything in your voice.
Yeah, my boyfriend's dad is like that, you know. We try to stop him. We try to head him off at the pass. Like, you know, he'll call or something, and he'll say, "Are you watching the game?" And Reggie says, "Yes, but I am
don't
behind."
Because
we don't start watching when it starts, because we want to fast forward through the commercials.
Yep. He says,
"We are behind. We're about a half hour behind, Dad, so don't say anything." And his father says, "Okay, but those doggone Lakers." So, you know, but my mom is the best. She should have played poker.
She's got a good
because
poker
I'm telling
on
you, man, I poker have voice. No idea who won or lost. And she's always very, "So, are you watching? Where are you?
That's all.
Where are you in it?
Where are you in the match?
We have
or
to
the
learn
game?
That.
Yeah.
It is a different thing, you know, because a lot of people will. I know so I have some friends who won't record things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, they won't record a game. They're like, "No, I have to watch it in real time. I have to watch it live as it's happening.
I don't have to watch it real time, but I prefer to watch it and not know the result."
Right. That's
unlike
the thing. If you're not watching it in real time, then that's a whole nother job.
Because I've had people blow it for me, and then it's like, why am I watching? And it really does change your experience.
It does.
But you, on the other hand, jumping back to football for a minute, do people know you record and watch every game of the weekend? Do they know just how obsessed you are?
Well, now I have I do something a little different now since they started the Red Zone channel.
Okay.
I found that I love the Red Zone channel.
Okay.
Because there's always something happening.
Action.
You know, because there's always some action happening. Somebody's getting ready to score, or somebody's getting ready to turn the ball over and not score.
But you'll watch those even when you know what the outcome is.
Well, with the Red Zone channel, you get to see
in real time
some of all the games.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Reggie likes to watch the game mix, where he's watching like eight games at one time.
That's dizzying. When I've been over your house when
hurt.
You guys do that, I don't know where to look.
I'm like, "What are you watching?" And he's like, "Well, it doesn't matter, because if you miss something, you can always go back and you can say, oh, that game was good, so I'll go back now and watch that one." But that's like one little square.
That's too much work.
What
for
do
me.
We buy these big TVs for and we're going to just watch a little corner of it?
Well, good
that
thing it's a big TV.
That
then.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, does it?
But
we do work really hard at not finding out.
Right.
And really, to not find out, you can't turn on the radio.
You can't even check your email.
You cannot check your email. You can't go on Facebook. You can't Google anything, because these alerts, you know, it could pop up very easily.
I've been so mad at those,
I remember when I first moved here, and we used to go to the Hollywood Bowl for the Playboy Jazz Festival back in the days when Bill Cosby was doing the emceeing for that. And also, this was a period when the Lakers were always in the playoffs. And since the Playboy Jazz Festival was always in June, you know, the Lakers very often would be in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And Cosby used to come on stage
and
say where they were in the game and what the score was. And you would see people around with little radios.
Uh-huh.
And some people who were advanced who had the little portable TVs, they'd have those too, you know, so they'd be enjoying the show and watching the game, and he would come and give updates. If somebody were to do that now, do you know how many people would be mad?
Booing them off the stage.
I'm recording the game. I'm recording. I don't want to know. But I tell you, tennis.
Yeah.
Now, this is a game that if you're going to be a fan of tennis, you really need to have a lot of time on your hands.
Oh, my goodness. And the length of some of these battles lately. Are they changing some of those rules so they won't go quite?
They're talking about changing that rule that Wimbledon has.
Yeah.
That at the end, if you have a tiebreaker, if you're tied
by two games,
if you're tied at the end of the final set, then you have to win by two games. And they've had some serious marathons behind that.
Like, what is it, 10, 12
Everybody
hours?
Else is doing the tiebreaker. I think it's Nicholas Mahut and John Isner.
They have the record.
Who have the record. They played 2 days.
And John's done it more than once he's had.
John has the second record also.
Oh,
he's number one
goodness.
And number two. But that's because he's a great server, but has trouble breaking the other person's serve. So he's always in a tiebreaker.
Yeah, the physicality of tennis is just, it's amazing. And when you see it being played at the level we get to watch it on, it's art, you know. The way Federer moves in his body is just, it's really poetry in motion. And I like watching him. And I love that the David and Goliath of it all sometimes, when you see these underdogs. Well, that's about sports in general. You know, we always have this little thing, at least I do, for the underdog. And
always.
I love how sports kind of levels the playing field in some things when you least expect it. Somebody just comes and rises to their highest level. And even seeing somebody rise to their highest level when you know that they're used to playing a certain way and you see them rise for an occasion, it's just inspiring, you know, in all aspects of life, I think.
It really is. I can't even imagine what that must feel like when you're the underdog and, you know, you beat a Roger Federer or you beat a Serena Williams or a Rafa Nadal or somebody like that, you know, who for most of these people, these are the people they idolize. For them, it's the reason why I'm doing this.
Yep.
Because I used to see this person doing it. But, you know, you talk about the length of the matches and the physicality that's involved. I know that recently with the U.S. Open, just to see, watching them play in that 90, almost 100 degree heat and the high humidity.
That's been amazing. I mean, you almost want them to stop because it feels
I was going to faint.
I know. Did you see even Djokovic was having problems there? And he talked about, you hear him talk about the ice bath he took naked with the guy during that break? He's a funny dude. I'm sorry.
All of that is pretty hilarious. One of the things that really like about tennis is, and one of the reasons I like to watch at home as opposed to actually going to the stadium,
mm-hmm.
we used to go to the U.S. Open all the time, but just to sit, you know, you sitting up there, they look like little specks down
the
court. And I always like hearing the commentary because the analysts are so good, certain ones especially. Give me John McEnroe any day.
Mm-hmm.
Chrissy Everett is amazing.
Yep.
And some of the others well. But you know what? At the U.S. Open, they do something really cool. They have these headsets that people get when they come in.
So
the people
who
are in the stadium actually can listen to the broadcast commentary. Whether they should do that with all sports.
Yeah, I like that you have that vision. You should talk to somebody.
They should do that in all sports.
I actually want to go to all the majors at some point just for the experience of it all. But when you talk about, like you said, going in general to these things live, your view is better on TV. Hello,
hey,
you're comfortable.
Look,
no crowds, no parking.
No line for the bathroom.
The food is not expensive. The beer is cheaper.
Don't have to worry about a designated driver.
There you go.
Everything is super cool like that, you know? But tennis is probably becoming so much more popular today because of people like Venus and Serena.
Exactly.
You know, who have really just paved the way. These women are amazing.
They are. And, you know, I have a super athletic niece and goddaughter, as you know, and I promised them, I tried so hard to get that girl to play tennis. She's a super athlete. I mean, like, came out the womb as an athlete. And I paid for tennis lessons just for a short while, and she never picked it up after that because she was so focused on her track career. But I thought, that is the career for a woman who is athletic. There's no other thing that's going to make you that kind of, you know, living where it rests on you. The other thing about team sports, which I love watching those as well, but with tennis, you dictate what happens in your game. There's no one else you can point the fingers at, and there's no one else that's, you know, that has to pull you down either. You can decide, and I love that about tennis.
Now, I don't know if you saw the HBO documentary Being Serena, but watching that was a revelation because they showed her training to come back after having a baby. And it was really some great behind the scenes footage. I think reality TV is pretty stupid for the most part. But I like Hard Knocks, you know, and I like this because with a sports reality show, you really are seeing, there's drama in it, but you're seeing the behind the scenes of how people really prepare for battle is what it is.
Yeah.
And they showed Patrick Mouratoglou, who is the coach who has, since Serena hooked up with Patrick, she's won 10 Grand Slams.
Grand Slams,
you know, and the later part of her career, which is absolutely amazing. But to see the work that this woman did,
to get there.
To get back to play. I mean, she was crying. There was one scene where, you know, she was like, she was just crying. She says, "You act like you don't, what I'm upset about is you act like you don't think I'm really trying and I'm working hard." And he was really pretty blunt with her about, you know, you want to be a mom, you want to be a wife, you have to put those things aside if you really want to do this and play at the highest levels. He told her, "You got to come out to my tennis institute in Paris. Bring the baby if you must, and bring somebody to take care of her, because you need to work, and you need to work every day."
What a great
But just for her to embrace that, I mean, she doesn't have to do another thing
for
in
life.
Tennis.
I know.
She's going down as one of the greatest that ever lived.
But that shows you what it is that's in her and who she is as a person that's driving her even beyond what is, you know, needed. She's just... That's who she is.
Yeah. And we've watched her grow up. I mean, there were times when I was pretty annoyed with Miss Serena.
Yeah. And that's the truth.
And my goodness.
Time when she didn't have her mental game together. You know, I think it was years ago. She was in her early years playing, I want to say it was Sanchez Vicario, and she was at match point and came back and lost the whole thing. I mean, it was just a complete mental breakdown. And just to see that growth.
Well, that growth, but what I was talking about really is I just think that she acted like a spoiled brat too much. You know,
too.
The temper tantrums and
that
just
too.
Some of her behavior on court. But the thing we have to remember, not just about tennis players, but I think athletes, period, they come into our view when they're teenagers, they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how immature you probably were when you were 16 years old or 15 years old. Tennis players are particularly young.
Yeah.
And they grow up before our eyes.
Yeah.
They become, you know, they get so much adulation. You know, people look at them as heroes.
Yeah.
And they're just kids. And we're watching them grow up and go through some of the things that we've gone through that no one ever saw. You know, but I tell you what, this woman has become somebody I'm just super proud of. And I think a lot of it really has to do, of course, with all the things you go through in life, you know, the murder of her sister and just a lot of the challenges they
face.
The health challenges,
injuries.
Some of the racism that they face
when they
first entered the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that her big sister has a lot to do with it.
I think so, too. I love when I see them hug after a match, no matter who's won. There's something that transpires there between them. But also, have you noticed a different demeanor after motherhood in Serena?
Oh, no question.
And her losses.
No question. You could look at in her losses. I mean, she's so much more gracious with her opponents than she ever was. She used to pout and just all kinds of stuff.
I think it's really balanced her out, you know, that she's like, this is not the end of the world.
That seems to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed like during the U.S. Open how when the French Open people said that they have banned the cat suit now. They told she can't wear the cat suit anymore.
Mm.
The old Serena would have went ballistic. She just kind of laughed it off like, whatever. I got diapers to change at home and everything. But back to Venus, I think that the way Venus has really impacted Serena and so many other people as well is just by her classiness and her grace.
Yeah.
She was always a lot more grown up to me than Serena. She played the big sister very, very well. But when you look at everything that she's gone through with her Sjogren's syndrome, this rare disorder that saps your energy and makes your joints hurt.
And she's
this
still
is for a tennis
playing
player.
In the finals of major opens.
She is still
like
a seeded player, top 20, you know.
And you won't hear her complain about it at all or say a word about
it. Not at all.
They don't make excuses. I love that about their game.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever see the documentary that they did on the two of them?
I think so, yeah.
That was amazing,
that was
too. You can't discount not only what they've contributed in terms of their accomplishments in tennis, but also getting equal pay for women at Wimbledon the way that Venus went about making it happen. And it's something that benefits everyone. And she really stepped out there as a leader, a responsible citizen in that regard. So proud of those girls.
Yeah, yeah. And now Serena's using her platform as a working mom to voice for a lot of people issues that that they face, and people are eating that up, you know.
Yeah.
I actually follow her on IG, so.
Oh, you do. I guess I should follow her too, huh?
Oh my goodness. You're going to see a lot of baby pictures. But they're really good ones, you know.
They're cute.
Yeah.
I did see the one where she was like in the alley.
Oh, did you see the look on the baby's face?
Right. And she's
on
like,
Olympia's face.
She's pushing off on
I know.
Her legs.
Olympia laid over like, really? Can
Enough
we get
already.
On? Yeah, I know. But in that picture, if you look at it again, that baby looks just like her daddy.
Yes, that baby does look just like her daddy. It is very, very true. It'll be interesting to see, though, what they do with the rest of their career. They've really changed the way people think about constructing your tennis career, too. The fact that they didn't play
the
junior stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they always skipped tournaments. They always had a life and had other interests, because the lifespan of a tennis player can be very short.
And look how long they've made theirs as a result, you know, not maybe beating down their bodies that way or burning out, you know. You read Open, right?
Yes.
Andre Agassi's book. I had the wonderful honor of working with him for a little while, and he is so genuine. But, you know, he talked openly about how tired he got of tennis, you know. And when you're doing it at that level, if you don't take those breaks, I could see that happening. So,
and if you don't have other interests, then when it is over, because as Charles Barkley so famously said, you know, Father Time is undefeated. You know, no one is really gonna be able to play forever what you're doing. Some young people are gonna come and take your place eventually. You know, you gotta realize that once it's over, you should have something else that you can be passionate about and that you can care about. And for them, they've got so many things.
And we all need that, too. So.
Yeah, we all need that.
And, you know, speaking of Charles Barkley, that's what they called me playing basketball.
They called you Charles Barkley?
Were
you an enforcer or something?
Well, I was good at boxing out and just being a little bit, my presence was big on the court, I guess, in that way.
Yes, and Audrey is such a genteel young lady.
I try.
You know, I wish you could see her sitting here now, and I'm trying to think of her boxing people out.
Oh, honey, see, you just don't know the other side of me. Growing up with those brothers, like I said, we played football and everything else they did to me. They abused me as a child, I have to say. But back then, we didn't know what it was. But to me, I thought it was love. So if somebody tackles me.
And it was, really.
That's what my mother always told me. Audrey, if they didn't love you, they wouldn't even play with you.
That's right.
And so I learned.
And if you weren't good, they wouldn't play with you. My brothers wouldn't play with me. I remember this is what, you know, my dad was like a champion table tennis player. We weren't allowed to call it ping pong in my house. It was table tennis.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, my dad took the first integrated table tennis team to Russia when I was a little girl. And he also was the president of the United States Table Tennis Association, and he wrote the manual for this. My mom has a copy of the original one. Yeah. And so both of my brothers were very good table tennis players. I was terrible. In keeping with all of my sports activity, I was not good at all. So, and my brother Terry actually got a tennis scholarship. He played tennis at Hampton.
Wow.
And he was a ball boy at a tournament at Hampton University, which was Hampton Institute back at the time, when Arthur Ashe was there. That was the first time I ever heard of Arthur Ashe when we were still kids. And we must have been like in junior high school or something. But yeah, my dad played football too at Hampton.
Okay.
My brother Terry was a three-letter man. You know, he played tennis, ran cross country, and played football.
Wow.
As well.
So you were always surrounded by it.
I was always surrounded by sports, even though I was totally inept.
No, but I was always surrounded by it. And then my mother also was the only girl of three brothers as well. It's just that she was the oldest. So we both grew up in all these male-dominated households. And her brother, my Uncle Mickey, played baseball on one of the Negro League kind of levels in Kansas City, outside of Kansas City.
Was that the Monarchs, probably?
Yeah, I have to check. I should know details on that. But but we all grew up around it. I mean, so much so that even guys that, you know, I've dated or hung out with, and they're thinking I'm watching football to impress them, or I'm pretending like I know something to impress. I'm like, y'all don't even understand. Please take your. This one guy, literally, I think I told you about him. He thought I was just trying to. I don't know. I don't know what
he
thought.
Think you were trying to catch him?
I guess. I'm
by
like,
being into sports?
Yeah. I'm like, dude, you don't even understand. This is my thing. You know,
you don't
what?
Know what's up.
Yeah.
And one more thing, too, that the two of us have in common is our relationships with our mothers, and the fact that, you know, we share that love of sports with our moms, too. Yeah. And I don't think my mom was really that much. She says all the time, I turned her into a sports fan because I made her fall in love with the Knicks back in the Patrick Ewing era.
Yeah.
Because we went to some games. We actually went to games at Madison Square Garden. It was in my contract when I worked in New York. When my attorney says, well, you know, we're negotiating. I don't think you're going to be able to get any more money. Can you think of anything you want? I said, I want Knicks tickets.
Well, can you negotiate for some Lakers ones now that we got LeBron?
I really don't think that's going to be happening over here in Los Angeles, if you know what I mean.
Okay, fair enough. But our moms are great. And my mom, 86, to this day, you can catch her watching football on Sundays. Like I said, it was the soundtrack to our lives on Sundays during the football season. And please don't call her when Tiger's playing golf.
Oh, please. My mother, too. Look, that's a lot. And I don't think she ever watched golf before Tiger. Yeah. So, you know,
I did. I used to watch golf starting, I think, back in Greg Norman kind of days back then. But I love that as well. So.
Yeah. It is an awesome thing. Sports can really just add something real special to your life. Certainly has brought us together.
Yep.
You know, we've had some great evenings, you know, chomping on some fried chicken, having a nice cocktail.
Yep.
With our shoes off because we're at home instead
screaming
of
screaming at the TV.
Out there at the arena.
Yeah, I know. It's so much more comfortable. So much more comfortable.
Well, I tell you what, it's great having you here and talking about all this. And I hope you'll come back again and join me.
I would love to. And I love what you're doing here with this. And I think more women need to just go ahead and be proud of their sports, you know, appreciation and not try to hide it.
Exactly. This is not the only lady who loves sports. Audrey Schmatis does, too.
And I love you.
I'm willing to bet you do, too.
Thanks, baby.
I'm Pat Prescott. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.